Now, will England get the World Cup for 2018? Will it go to Russia, or could it go to the dark horse, as it often happens, and that Spanish-Portuguese bid could come true and win it all? We're joined from Zurich by Aisling O'Connor, sports news correspondent of The Times. And Aisling, the fact that Vladimir Putin has decided not to go, would that suggest that the Russians are worried that their bid is going to lose out and he's avoiding it in case he be humiliated?
Well, that's one way to interpret it, and certainly I think the England team are taking some encouragement from that. It's always been said that Vladimir Putin wouldn't come if he thought he was going to lose, and it seems that the way he's announced that he isn't coming by complaining about unscrupulous competition, which we're not quite sure whether that's a reference to the British media or to the rivals in the contest, but it seems that he's getting his excuses in early, and the Russian bid team themselves don't seem to be terribly upbeat. England are definitely feeding off that, and I think they're going into tomorrow certainly as the bookies' favourites now, but it's going to be a very, very close contest, as Spain-Portugal is still, as you said, dark horse and very strong there with lots of political support.
Well, you see, but what about England's bid, given all the controversy caused by the BBC Panorama programme on Monday night, which alleged corruption at the higher levels of FIFA, albeit in the past?
Well, David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, and David Beckham and Prince William have been in meetings with FIFA members in the last 2 to 3 days, going over this with them. And today, Beckham said that he thought they'd moved beyond that, and that some of the members that he'd spoken to said that they made a clear distinction between the activities of investigative journalists who happen to be from the UK and the activities of the bid team, and that they wouldn't hold it against them. And even Issa Hayatou, who's the African president, and who was accused of accepting a bribe, an allegation he refutes, is said to be on England's side even after all that. We'll only know with the final outcome, and actually we'll never know whether he really voted for us, because it's a secret ballot.
What about Spain and Portugal? Will they be affected by all the doubts about their economic and financial standing at present as to whether they would be able to finance the construction of stadia, any new stadia that are required in advance of 2018?
Well, I mean, 2018, it's not now, is it? And the economies of Europe will come back. So FIFA members will be making an assessment of the future rather than an assessment of the present, although a lot of economists have said that Spain and certainly Portugal can't afford now to upgrade stadia, or if they can, should they be spending billions on that instead of on other public services? And I certainly think that might be in the back of some people's minds, but FIFA politics tends to be smaller than that. It doesn't tend to be about the bigger geopolitical picture, and it will come down to what FIFA members, you know, their natural allegiances with each other, what can be done in the football world rather than in the real world, if you like.
Are there any other bidders apart from England, Russia and Spain-Portugal?
Well, Holland-Belgium always gets overlooked, which, much to their chagrin, and I don't think they have a particularly bad bid. It's just that they don't really stand out from the crowd, and FIFA doesn't tend to look that kindly on joint bids, which would also be a negative for Spain and Portugal. But Holland and Belgium are expected to go out if the strategists are right. They'll go out in the first round, perhaps with 2 or 3 votes, which would save face, but no one expects them to win.
Aisling O'Connor, sports news correspondent of The Times, thank you for joining us. Russell McDermott is with us from Optimum Sports Management. The politics of all this, whoever said that sports and politics doesn't mix, Russell?
Good evening, Matt. I think it's always mixed up together. You know, the designation of something like this involves a continent, it involves a country, it involves association. There's a lot of money involved. Over the last adjudication of the last few World Cups, there would have been promises made from the African votes to bring it to South Africa this year, and so on and so forth. So like in any campaign, in any election, it gets reduced down to things that don't often superficially look important, but they have baggage going forward, which means the designation of a place is never as simple as it seems.
In the past, England would have been handicapped by a hooliganism problem, which they managed to get through the 96 European Championships and showed that they could do it. And of course, they have the Olympics next year. Are they, just perhaps because also of the size of the country, more manageable, perhaps at an advantage compared to Russia, where teams might have to travel vast different distances and also fans might feel a little bit less secure?